will just stand with us. We'll just be reading four verses. I'll pray, and then afterward, we will hear the word of God. Okay, Jonah chapter 3, okay? Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 to verse number 4. Okay, for the children, I need you all to just cooperate by just listen, all right? I'll try to make it as easy as possible, but also so that we can understand God's word. Okay, Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 to verse number 4. Okay, we'll be reading from the King James Bible. Okay, our church uses the King James, we believe. God preserved this word in there. All right? I know some churches may use other versions. Just follow along, all right? Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Let's read the four verses together. Ready? For the Chinese, go ahead and read it as well. Ready? 1, 2, begin. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Check time. Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey, and Jonah began to enter into a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Let's bow for our prayer. Let's close our eyes, bow our heads, and pray. Heavenly Father, right now, it's your turn to speak, Lord. And I pray that your word, as we have read it, will touch our hearts, both in the children and in the parents that have come. And will understand the message of Jonah, the message of God through Jonah. The Father, today, we might leave this place knowing what you have in our lives or what you want us to hear. So we'll thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The book of Jonah chapter 3, God had a mission for Jonah. God had a mission for Jonah, and the Bible says in Jonah chapter 1, verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up unto me. God told Jonah, the son of Amittai, verse 1, says, I want you to go to that city and cry unto it for the message that I want to tell to that city. The Bible says, wickedness has come up before me. What is wickedness? What in the mind of God is wickedness? Wickedness is basically sin, okay? What is wickedness? Wickedness basically is sin. Sin. But then the Bible says in 1 John 3, 4, if some of you may refer to your verses, the Bible says, whosoever transgresses, committeth sin, transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. There was something that God says, look, Jonah, I've got to tell you something. You need to go to this city because the wickedness is come up to me. After that, I'll explain a little bit more about that. But to some people, Brother Johnny, what, we are in grace. What is law? What is law? Okay? And I want to explain law because many people misunderstand law. Oh, you follow the law of God, therefore you are wrong. But the Bible says the law of God is the principle of life. This is very important. The law of God is the principle of life that when you listen to, it pleases God. It brings people together and promises the goodness of God in the individual's life. I say again, the law of God is when we listen to the law of God, when we listen to it, it's the principle which pleases God. Brings people together and promises God's goodness on the people's lives. Romans chapter 7 verse 12 says, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Good means something profitable. Like for example, I do good to Brother Gideon here. It means I'm kind to him. The Bible says God's law is good. A lot of people say, I don't want to listen to God's word because it basically binds me. I don't want to be bound. But the Bible has a different message. My law is good. My law is good. Simple illustration. How many of you parents will actually tell your children, please don't put your finger in the fan? How many of you will do that? Or how many of you say when you're afraid your children play with the fan, say, never mind, I'll just play in the fan, never mind. You have to give a law, right? Don't put your finger in the fan. Why did you do that? No, parents, you shouldn't do that. Just let your children free. Just do what they want, right? No, as a parent, because you know if your children will listen to you, your children will go to secondary school with five fingers. Because if you let your children go to, if you don't put a law and say, don't put your fingers inside, your children may have two fingers left. Right? You know, it's a misunderstanding of man that the law of God binds us. The law of God frees us. Ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. That's why, listen carefully, that's why in Joshua 1 verse 8, children, if you know, can memorize with me, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, for those who know the Bible, God was telling Joshua to go in and conquer the promised land. Question, what has conquering the promised land have to do with the word of God? Do you know what it has to do? Because the success of Joshua in the promised land depends on whether Joshua followed this book. Depends on whether Joshua would say, God, I'm going to follow your ways. I'm going to follow what you tell me. Because when you follow God's ways, your character changes. I say again, when you follow God's word, your character change. Because many of us sometimes see what the world does and say, hey, you must follow this. Eh? Wow, you're here. How many of you, I hope not, I don't know. I don't know any of you. Have you heard a website called Kiasu Parents? Ah, Kiasu Parents. Why Kiasu? Some Kiasu, then some Kiasi. Then God, sorry, there's another Kia, I don't know what it said. Kiasu, I think. Kiasu, Kiasi, and what? Kiasu. Why Kiasu Parents? You know why? Because many things on the internet tells us how to get ahead in this life. God's word tells you how to get ahead in His kingdom. And Christians and parents, we're not members of this world. If you have Christ in your hearts, you are from another kingdom. But coming back to this, Joshua said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Example, you know God says in the Bible, thou shalt not commit adultery. Did you know when God said that, it was to protect the family? God says to the family's parents, thou shalt not commit adultery. What if God don't say that? That means we can do what we want? What happens when adultery happens? The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know why that is good? Parents, you know that principle is good, right? Because you get the parents to listen to me. But you know, children, do you know why God put that in a family? To make sure the family function properly. To make sure the family... I don't know many of your families, but how many of you truly in your family do have problems? Don't put up your hand. Do you know why? Many of the reasons is because these children have a sinful nature. They're not going to do what you want to say. They're not going to do what you tell them to do. But God puts the law, children, obey your parents in the law. And children, do you know what happens to children in the Old Testament who don't listen to their parents? You know what happened to them? They're going to take the children. They're going to bring the children to the religious leaders. And the parents are going to say, my children don't listen to me. And the religious leaders say, oh yeah, really? Let's investigate. Oh, it's true. So and so is not listening. You know what they do? They take the children. He's been convicted. They put them in a hole. And they stone them to death. I don't get a lot of missing children today. You do that today. Thank God for grace. But in the Old Testament, why was it so serious? Because the family is what Satan wants to attack. When God puts the law, it's to protect. I hope parents, you can see that. And children, you can see that. You know what's the saddest thing about that story I just told you? Do you know who has to accuse the children before the religious leaders? The parents. The parents have to say, my children just don't want to listen to me. And in Singapore, they have this thing called BPC. You know what's that? Beyond parental control. And we have many children beyond parental control today, even in Christian families. Can I challenge you? God's law is good. God's law is good. But when God's law is rejected, just like Jonah just now, what did Jonah do, children, when God asked him to go to Nineveh, what did Jonah do? He He go and run around. Well, it'd be good if he just run around. Okay, actually he run around. But he ran away. He ran away from God. Okay, when you don't do what God's law says, there are two things you do. Number one, you violate God's law. You violate God's law. And number two, you have offended God. You've broken his law. Parents, when you give your instruction or when you give an instruction to your children, you expect your children to listen, right? Now, how do you feel when your children don't listen to you? Angry? You say, why don't you listen? If you have listened to me, this wouldn't have happened, right? How do you think God feels when we break his law? I think maybe God will feel sad. That's very good. So next time you remember that when daddy gives you an instruction, you will remember daddy will feel sad if you don't do, okay? Remember? Okay, that's good. The children are responding, and I can tell you during the VBS, I see the children responding, parents. But you know what? Nineveh has broken God's law. The city of Nineveh has broken God's law. And now the sin has come up to God. You know, parents, and all of us who are listening here as if you're a Christian, God tolerates us many times because of our sin. And sometimes God doesn't close his eye to sin. You know why I know that? Because Jesus Christ had to come to die. Because if God closes his eye to sin, Jesus didn't have to go to the cross. But he did. He may tahan a long while. In fact, from the first time Adam and Eve sinned to the time Jesus Christ came, do you know how long was that? If you believe in evolution, it's millions of years. That's rubbish, pure rubbish. The Bible says God created the heavens and the earth. Then the earth is probably, by evidence, about 4,000 to 6,000 years old. From the time that Adam and Eve sinned to the time Jesus Christ came was 4,000 years. God waited 4,000 years before he came. You know what? Do you know what happened during that time? God tolerated man's sin. He tolerated man's sin. He tolerated man's sin at that time. You know, it's like when you go to class for the first time, and then your teacher didn't know you, but then your teacher give you homework, but you don't do your homework. So you say, sure, I never do my homework first time. The teacher said, okay, never mind, I'll let you go first time. But you do the second time, and the third time, and the fourth time, and the fifth time, and the teacher come to a point and say, hey, this student, his wickedness, his lack of doing homework has come up to here. And then you ask the parents, can I come and see you? That's the kind of situation Nineveh was. The sin of Nineveh has come. God has tolerated Nineveh for so long that God says, it's time to deal with Nineveh. Time to deal with Nineveh. Parents, I want you to learn three truths, or all of us, three truths from the gospel, this verse. Before that, what happened in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1? The Bible says, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And he said, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I will bid thee. So Jonah arose. What's the message? Yet 40 days! Nineveh will be overthrown. Yet 40 days. Yet Nineveh will be overthrown. Our children are paying attention. Yet 40 days. Jonah was going. Can you imagine? Jonah was spit out of the whale's belly, all bleached because of the stomach acid that he was in. All right? There may be a seaweed. And then this Jewish guy come out of nowhere. The Bible says Nineveh was a great city of 3 days' journey. That simply means from point one to the end of 3 days, if you walk through, that's how great it is. Probably about 70 to 100 kilometers. And the Bible says Nineveh was Jonah walked 1 day journey into Nineveh, towards the center almost, and says, yes, 40 days, your city is going to be overthrown. 40 days, your city is going to be overthrown. I want to learn three truths. Number one, Nineveh was a city with limited time. Nineveh was a city with limited time. 他们的时间有限了。 Sometimes we think that we have, oh, don't worry, I can do my homework tomorrow. Mommy say, hey, have you finished your homework? Then inside, the children, wait, mommy, 7 minutes, I finished this game. Then after that, before the 7 minutes, you want to play the second game already, right? And then you, and then mommy, we tend to think that we have prolonged time. How many of you read the story about the e-scooter who was killed, I think, 2 days ago? So sad, right? How many of you heard the story of the e-scooter, the 52-year-old who was hit by a bus? Okay? Do you think the e-scooter person ever thought that that was his last day? I had a friend. Oh, this one goes back 1987. And now you're rough there. Children, how old am I? Yeah, thank you. See, the children now know my age. I told them. I had this friend, 1987. His name is William. William, me and TC, and three of us are very good. We call the three mosquitoes. When we were in school. We had fun. We had fun. And in those days when there was a pre-U center, remember the pre-U center days? And you go to the secondary school, you can study for 3 years. So I went to a pre-U center, but then later on I left. But three of us were still good friends. So in the first year I met the three of them, we had a classmate by the name of Jennifer. Okay? Then after I left, after pre-U one, went to another JC, then on the third year when we were having the A-levels, I will never forget, about 8:45 in the night, it was still raining. I can see what's happening. He came to my door. Hey, Johnny, he knows where. We kind of live across. William live across, diagonally across. Okay? Our buildings are still there. Lorong 6 Toa Payoh is still there, but I know he live across. That night, he came to my house and said, hey, William, what are you doing here? You know, wow, good to see you. Of course, we're all preparing for A-level, so we kind of really busy. But William came by, and he was talking about things, and I said, ask how's the city, how is this TCN, and all that kind of thing. Then later on, I said, hey, you heard the news? I said, what news? Jennifer died. I said, what? And she told me the story that Jennifer, my friend, was with her boyfriend at 4 a.m. in East Coast Park. I don't know what they were doing there. Supposed to be studying for A-levels, right? Right? On the way back on the motorcycle, along PIE, you know, the Toa Payoh Kim Keat area, got hit by a car. Motorbike. Jennifer died. You know why I remember those things? Those in our church know I always highlight these things from my younger days because it hit me. It hit me. You know what hit me? I have not shared with her the gospel before she died. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27 verse 1. You know, many of us as parents or even Christians think we always have tomorrow. We always have tomorrow. You know why? In Luke chapter 12, if you want to turn there, you can. There was a parable, okay? There was a parable of a man, a rich man. And the rich man was saying, so, thou have much goods laid up for thee for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. You know what? You know what God told him? Luke chapter 12, verse 20. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. God said, when this person was contemplating, hey, my bank account is sui-sui, man. I got enough for... You know, we have always been thinking of... In Singapore, we are taught to plan for our retirement, all that, which is good. I'm not saying it's bad. But you know, if your whole life you plan for retirement, don't live your life and lose out on living your life. Don't live this world. Don't live this life. If you're a Christian, your life is not here. Your citizenship is in heaven. Philippians chapter 3 says that. You are just a passing through. It's kind of you go for another place for holiday for a few days and you come. We are supposed as Christians, when Jesus Christ is in our heart, to have a luggage in this world. And to go anywhere God tells us to go. Do anything God tells us to do until the time you say, okay, you come up. But I know a lot of us tend to plan things here. God says, thou fool, Luke 12, 20, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided for? I think you all agree, time is short. Time is short. Time is short. Nineveh was a city of pride. You know, it was a city that rejected God. And so at that time, God said, it's time to deal with Nineveh, number one. Number two, but although Nineveh was a city with limited time, point number two, Nineveh was a city under God's grace. Why did God send Jonah there? why did God send Jonah? Why did God send Jonah to Nineveh? And the Bible says, Jonah chapter 3 verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Why was God so anxious? Why the first time, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to tell that city they only have 40 days. And if you read the passage, you will understand. It was Jonah only said what God said. Preach the preaching which I bid thee. So the words that came out from Jonah wasn't even Jonah's own words. Because God says, yet 40 days, your city will be overthrown. And God sent Jonah the second time. You know how, I want you to, Christians, hear God's heart. Chapter 1, God says, Jonah, go. Jonah say, don't want, run away, right? God was still there. God says, okay, you don't want to go, I get big fish to whip you. And then after that, Jonah, okay, sorry, God. And God say again, Jonah, please go. Because yet 40 days, this city is going to be destroyed. You say, oh, you know. Why did God send Jonah there? God is more anxious for the salvation of the Ninevites than Jonah was. Parents, we need to be more anxious for the salvation of our kids than about whether they get PhDs. Because you can go to hell with a PhD. I know of PhD. I have a lecturer who is one of the most renowned neurology lecturer in Australia when I studied there. Throughout the whole area of Perth, any hospital have problems, they may call him to consult the complex cases. When I was year one, year two, year three, his exams were so tough that I had friends that left the exam room in 30 minutes crying because they couldn't do the exam. He is very smart. But you know, I heard from one of the lecturer friends after I graduated, this PhD, very brilliant neuroscientist, moved in, left his wife of 10 years, and moved in with a third-year student. You tell me whether public education trains our children for heaven. I say no. I'm not saying don't get an education. I'm saying be careful what education as parents we give our children. God is so concerned for Nineveh that he will squeeze his own prophet. You better go there because people are dying. God's grace. You know what God's... Do you know what Nineveh did? Okay, upper primary, pay attention. What did Nineveh do? What are some of the wickedness? So it's good. What are some of the wickedness that... Yes, Charlotte. Okay, so one of the things that they were taught, I was there. You know what the Assyrians will do? The like a person, they will tie him up, and the soldiers will take a penknife, and they will skin that person alive. And then hang the skin, and then bit by bit, they will skin the whole person until he's dead. One of the stories I read, the Assyrians would cut out pregnant ladies, take the fetus, throw up in the air, and let the fetus land on their spear. That was how cruel they were. And God tolerated that nonsense for hundreds of years until he said, that's enough. Assyria would be like Nazi Germany. They have to be stopped. But you know what God did? Before I destroy this city, I'm going to give them 40 more days. Parents, fathers, you only have 15 years with your boys and 18 years with your girls. After that, they don't want to be seen dead with you when they go to the shopping center after that. They would have developed their own friends. You only have 15 years with your children. Why are we so anxious about VBS? Because we have seen children's families broken because parents take a remote control attitude towards how they bring up their children. And yet we have grace. You know, these young children are here. I'm so thankful for the children that recite memory verse. You know, even the little agents. You know why you call them little? Because literally they are little. But you know what God did? God put in these little agents an immortal soul. And God wants us as parents to tell them the love of Christ and the words that will give them eternal life. God was so anxious for Nineveh that he would push Jonah. Look, Jonah, I need you to go. I need you to go. I need you to go. You know, when as parents we are so anxious for our children's PSLE, right? Our children are sleeping like a log. We have nightmares. Right? Some of us cannot even sleep properly. I hope not in this room, lah, as you trust Christ. But you know, did you ever tell your children that when they get a job next time, they will never consider your they won't even think of ask you for your PSLE scores? And we are putting our whole life on something. I'm not saying that it's not important to have education. Please don't misunderstand. I'm saying as Christians, we have misplaced our priorities. God places his priority on the soul. That's where we need as parents to put our priorities to. Because it's more important for your children to be serving God when they grow up than be chasing something. That when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ, if they are Christians in the great white throne, if they are not, their PhD is not going to help them. Because that is inadmissible in the court of heaven on that day. Parents, if you're a Christian, you understand what I'm saying. But Nineveh was a city under God's grace. Let me look at a few verses when I say that. God sends his word in Jonah chapter 3, verse 4. Because in Jonah 3, verse 4, Jonah began to enter the city and he cried, "You have 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Those are the precise words of God. Jonah did not preach his own words. He preached words that came out from the mouth of God, which means it came from the heart of God. It came from the heart of God. 40 days, your city will be overthrown. The word of God, it was a city of God's grace because God intended to save Nineveh. Can I say that again? Those of you, upper primaries, you know the story. What happened after after Jonah preached to Nineveh, what happened to the city of Nineveh? What did they do? They repented and fasted. You know why? God had a plan. God already had a plan to save them. But God needed someone to tell them, and then they'll be saved. God has a plan. God is not willing that any should perish. Parents, I'll say this with all my heart. If your children have never heard the gospel from your own lips, and when they grow up not knowing Christ, who's responsible? Us. Hard truth. I'm not Lee Kuan Yew. Really hard truth from the Bible. We cannot outsource our salvation of our children. You can get another job, but you can't get another child. God is more concerned for the soul of those children than for anything else that he will push his prophet to go. God, it was a city under God's grace. You know, God's compassion is extended. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, God extended his compassion. He said in Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, God saw their works and that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he said that he would do. Parents, you may think my children is beyond reach. Think again. There is no child beyond the reach of God. But you know what God says? I want to see how serious you are first, Christian parents. God has put his love in your heart that when Jesus gave all to save us, he wants parents for us also to give all to reach our children for Christ. God's compassion is extensive. Now, this is the children. Children, I want you, if you have your Bibles, children, turn to Jonah chapter 4, verse 11. Okay, this verse is about you. This verse is about you, okay? And Nineveh was a city under God's grace. Jonah chapter 4, verse 11. Okay, those are there. You can please read it together. The Bible says, and ready? One. Those are ready, just read. One, two, go. "And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" What's God talking about? 60. What's how many is 10? 20. 60 is how many? 120. 120? 120,000. There are 120,000 who cannot differentiate between the left hand and the right hand. Who is God talking about? Who is God talking about? He was talking about the children. God told Jonah, I have compassion on this sinful city because there's 120,000 innocent children who don't know even know left and right. God's mercies is extensive. Sometimes we look beyond. Sometimes we think that God just sees. No, God has other plans. And I believe this. If you are the only Christian in a particular place, some of you are the only Christians in your families. You know who you are? You're the light. You're the light. Don't always think, my family is so hard one, they will never listen to me. And that's why God put you there. You're the light, you're the salt of that family. God's compassion is extensive. But one final point, and I'm finished. Firstly, Nineveh was limited time. Nineveh was a city of God's grace. But last point, Nineveh was a city that was destroyed finally. The book of Jonah was written in BC 786, between that time and BC 746. Assyria, which is Nineveh, was destroyed by the Babylonians, you read in your historical accounts, BC 732. From the time Jonah went to preach to the time that he was destroyed, Jonah said, yet 40 days your city will be destroyed. And because of their repentance, God approximately extended the grace period from 40 days to 40 years. Some parents here, your children are growing up. Some of us have longer time with our children to win them, to reach them, to teach them, to invest in them. At the end of the day, when your children grow up, your golf lessons may not be so important, your investments may not be so important, your work may not be so important. But when you see your children not walking with God, I have seen so many broken families where children walk away from God. They still recognize their parents, but they don't walk with God. Parents, you can have a good relationship with your child, and that's not more important than your child's relationship with God. You know why? Parents, we need to understand our children are God's gifts to us so that we can bring them back to God. Nineveh was destroyed. You know why were they destroyed? Number two, even though they repented, they continued in their sin after that. They continue in their sin. Many times, children may read the Bible and they pray. I had the privilege of 4 lower primary. I was speaking to them. And on the first day, I think Brother Chai Heng was preaching and he needed some help counseling. I was there. I spoke to 4 children. It's a blessing. Parents, I want to tell you this. Your children remember what you teach them. Because these children came to me and then he told me, Pastor Johnny, I want to read more of the Bible. I want to know more about God. I want to put my faith in God. And then one of them said, I want to obey my father more. This is the heart of your children. But parents, sometimes we miss that totally because we have our own agenda. We want our children to be like that, like that, like that. And we do not know that God is actually working in our hearts, in the children of our hearts, the hearts of our children. It's a really sad thing for us to follow up children. Some of these children have been with us for 5, 6, 7 years in VBS. We have seen them grow up. You know what's the saddest thing? When they hit sec one, they're off into the world. You had 6 years with us. We are not saying we are the best model VBS. We are just a small ministry.
God, by His grace, allow us to touch some children for God. But parents, at the end of the day, when your children leave God, God has already given them 40 days. To you, that 40 days may be 6 years, maybe 3 years. Some of you, your children 15, 17 years old, you only have 1, 2 years left. My Jaira, one of the camp workers, 1 more year before he hit NS, I told him, you have
to sort out your spiritual life with God now. Because when you go into NS, you're going to face the gates of hell. And how your relationship with God, not your relationship with your family, will determine whether you will stand the test Satan is going to throw at him. And guys, for us who are men, we know what the army is like. Vulgar language, immorality, all kinds of... just do anything you want, just don't get caught. Principle. That's not God's ways. Your children need to go to NS and come out stronger for the Lord. They were destroyed because they continued in their sin and did not turn to God for help. In Romans chapter 6, 23, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. If you are not a Christian today, can I tell you the wages of sin is death? The fact that you're here today tells me that God still loves you. If you're not a Christian, can I say this? God have already loved you even though we say no. Can you imagine a friend who loves you and who did everything for you and you spit in that friend's face? No, I don't care about you. I don't want any part of you. And yet God continually, and some of you have your friends inviting you to the VBS and your children get a chance. We had a privilege of leading, or rather our camp workers had a privilege of leading one, I think it was a primary four, I can't remember, I don't know how old is he, of leading that child to Christ. And this child had never heard of Jesus Christ in his entire life. But in the camp, he realized he was lost. He realized Jesus was the kind shepherd. He realized that Jesus came to die so that this lost sheep can be brought back to the fold. And as a camp, one of the camp workers was working with him and said, "Tell me what you have learned." He says, I'm lost. Upper primary, how many of you are still sure? How many of you are still thinking you're lost? Or you think you know it and you can go to heaven by your own works? This particular person says, "I'm lost." And then the camp worker says, "So what are you going to do?" "I need to ask Jesus, the shepherd, to bring me back." And for the first time in Ambassador's history, we never prayed a sinner's prayer. This camp worker said, "You tell Jesus to save you." He said, "Jesus, I know I'm lost. I need you to save me." Jesus is still the kind shepherd. If you don't know how much he's done, can he just share with you, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, we were enemies of God. But God was still willing to say, "I don't care, Johnny was my enemy. I'm going to pay for his sin." Can I say this? God has already paid for our sin, whether we accept it or not. It's just like mommy and daddy when you prepare dinner for your children. And they say, "我不要吃，我不要煮，不喜欢." But even after your children do that to you, you still love your child, right? That's the heart of God. That even though, no matter how much we reject God, but you know what? There comes a time where God says, "Look, I've loved you. I've given you that time." There will come a time that God will say, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment." You know, you've been so good. If I can just preach that God will always wait for you, that's not the truth from the Bible. Because the Bible says, he that being reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Proverbs 28 verse 9. How many of you know the story of Noah? Noah, yeah? You know how long God gave the city of the world? God gave him 120 years to repent. God waited 100. God already decided to destroy the world. But you know what God did? Noah, build an ark. Huh? Yeah, build an ark. And God says, "Noah, in the time that you are building the ark, I want you to preach." Hebrews 11 says, "Noah, the preacher of righteousness, as he was building the ark, Noah preached for 120 years. But no man came to Christ." You know, it's like Singapore today. You go and tell people the gospel. People can come to church. People enjoy all the fellowship, but they will not want to come to Christ. That makes all the difference. That's why God is not interested in crowds. God's interested in an assembly that loves him. Now I challenge us as we close. If you're not a believer, the Bible says in John 5:24, we will be destroyed when we do not turn from our sin and, and place our faith in Christ. In John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them," he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. We'll be finishing in 5 minutes, all right? Just bear with me for a while. And if you're not a Christian, will you turn from your sin? But Brother Johnny, what do you mean sin? How many of you have gone to a country that you don't know the speed rule, speed limit, and then you overran the speed limit, and then, I didn't know. Do you know that in every country, in Singapore, I've learned that even if, let's say, I break the law, I offended Gideon, and Gideon don't want to press charges, but I break the law, the state will still charge me for breaking its laws. Did you know that? No, I have never understood that until one time something was stolen from our church. Okay, that was many years ago. It was a man who came and stole a wallet from our church. We found the culprit and we were advised to call the police. When we called the police, and then the brother who lost the wallet said, "No, I don't want to press charges because he's a pastor." He said, "No, it's okay as long as he does right." And after that, you know what the police officer said? "Well, at least you don't have to press charges, but we still have to press charges because he had broken the laws of Singapore. You are not supposed to take the things from someone else." Well, that was an eye-opener to me. We may think we're okay with God, but if you don't forgive someone who hates you, you've broken God's law. In other words, our relationship, we may say, "I don't care really, never mind." To us, never mind, but it minds to God. You know, our relationship with God is more important. Okay? So the Bible says, if you hear my word and place my faith in Christ, your faith in Christ, then he'll give you eternal life. Right, Johnny, is it that simple? I'll finish off in a few minutes, but this is important. Many people believe that just because you believe in Jesus, you get to heaven. It is that simple. Turn away from your sin, put your faith in Christ. But let me remind you, if you're a believer, I believe you'll agree with me. It may cost us nothing, but it costs God everything. And as a Christian, are you listening, upper primaries and those people? If as a Christian, after receiving the grace of Christ, and you can still live like the world, you have never understood how much Jesus did to save you. Just like many children here will never understand how hard parents work just to make sure they get through in life. I'm a parent, I've got four. As Christians before our Heavenly Father, are we grateful enough to say, "Okay, God, I'm sorry for my bad attitude towards my family. I'm sorry for my attitude towards this, attitude towards that." We were preaching through Matthew chapter 5 and how Jesus says that, you know what, love your enemies. And Jesus meant it. And Jesus proved it when he died on the cross. When he died for his enemies, he loved his enemies. If you're not a Christian, I will beg of you, please don't leave this place before speaking to someone by saying, "Hey, this Pastor Johnny talked about this salvation. Voila." If God has touched your heart, it could be that he wants you to turn from your sin and put faith in Jesus Christ. But let me finish off with a Christian. You know, who was the prophet who ran away in the senior primaries? You know, that was a very interesting application, and I believe this is important. God wanted to save Nineveh, right? Yes. God sent Jonah, and Jonah was very willing to go, right? No. But Jonah had no choice, right? Well, actually, he has. He has just run away. Okay? But because God loved that person, the group so much, 100 and 200,000 people, Jonah is more important than your attitude. I need to get you there. But you know, can I say this, Christians? When no one will step in the gap, let's pretend Jonah literally got digested by all the stomach juices of the whale. Do you think anyone will go to Nineveh? 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. But because of Jonah, God extended it by 40 years. What's the lesson? God can be speaking to our hearts as Christian parents or Christian as a Christian. I don't want to listen. Okay, God, I'll listen for a while. but I'm not really listening. You can listen to God outwardly, but God sees your heart. At the end of the story, I'm very thankful Jeremiah was teaching the children in class. You know, Jonah was a story with no ending. It ended with a question mark. Do you know why? I believe this. God was trying to tell, look, you can claim to follow me outwardly, but where's your heart? We can look very nice when we come to church, but where's your heart? Jonah, you followed me. No, first thing, Jonah, you ran away. Then you have no choice. And many of us think that we have no choice, therefore we need to follow. Well, I suppose I need to be faithful in church, you know. Otherwise, preacher always preach me and make me feel guilty. I'm not leading my children. Why are we not leading our children in the first place? You know, one of the saddest things, I'm actually on a website called Christians Homeschools, okay? You know who are the most people that are on a website? Mothers. You know what the concern? Where are the fathers? We are bringing a whole generation of children that do not know what it means to be a man for God. Fathers, I'm challenging you. Mothers usually have the most influence. Why? You know, sometimes fathers, we take the easy way out. I'm not saying all. Pardon me if you feel offended by this, but I'll just say it straight. There are more fathers working and divorcing themselves from the family. Not divorce, but separate, and leave everything to the parents, or sorry, to the mother, and all the children is to the mother. Fathers, you are to bring up your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. If you disagree with me, you take up the argument with God. Do you realize that when God gave instructions to the children of Israel in training up the family, it was always to the fathers? It's always to the fathers. Mothers, your job is to make sure your husband hears the voice of God through the Bible, and then you submit yourself in humble humility. And then children will then listen because they need to honor their parents, and then the whole family unit will be under God. And when that happens, it becomes a strong unit for God, for society, and for the witness of Jesus Christ in this world. Do you hear the heart of God? Christians, I was praying this message, it was so hard because there's so many people I don't know. But you know, one of the things I pray, you hear the heart of God, that God loves the people of Nineveh so much. And if you're Christian parents, we will love what God loves. We will love what God loves. We will love who God loves. I'll just finish off with one verse. Children, you have been very, very good. After this, Jeremiah is going to reward you with your awards, okay? So one last verse and we'll finish. Yes! Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30 to 31. For every Christian, let's just look at this verse. And then I'll close in prayer and I'll pass it to Jeremiah. Ezekiel 22, verse 30 to 31. Let me just read. Let's read together, okay? Those who are there, Ezekiel 20, 30 to 31. It's actually inside your printed page. Reading, one, two, go. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out my nation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Parents, if you are Christian parents, you're supposed to stand in the gap for your family. Ambassador Baptist Church members, we're supposed to stand in the gap for the North. We're small, but our God is great. And we can trust God every small way. And members, we need to be telling God, I need to be in the gap together with the group. I know many people are praying, and I'm thankful for the workers. I just want to thank God for the workers and ambassador who have stepped out. I know some couldn't because of certain things. That's fine. I know you've been praying. But Christians as a whole, we are supposed to stand in the gap for this world before God. And by the way, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. We are the last days Noah. Our message of the second coming of Christ is only contained in the word. Just as Noah got his word from God, said, build a boat because there's a flood coming. I'm telling you, this world is not going to be destroyed by flood. It's going to be destroyed by fire. And every Christian here is a modern-day Noah. Have you got your instructions from God? It's here. Now we're actively reaching out. But Brother Johnny, I'm not a pastor. Don't reach your own family for Jesus Christ first. Reach your own son, your own daughter for Christ. And then move on to your neighbor. And then move on. Let's pray. Lord, we commit the message into your hands. It's all you, Lord. We thank you as we go through the awards. May this message sink in to every Christian. For the Christian, if there's a sin of that needs to be repented of and things in their life that need to change, I pray, Lord, that you would touch them and help them. If they're your child, Lord, you speak to them. And I pray for everyone who is not a Christian and maybe this is the first time they've heard this. And Lord, I'm a man. I can say the things that you have accurately, but I believe the Holy Spirit will be able to overrule. And so, Lord, I trust you to do your work in the life of the unbelievers, those people who are not Christians. And for every child, Lord, I just pray a special prayer that as they grow up, Lord, the things that they've heard, that seeing they will see, and hearing they will hear, and that their ears will be blessed because they have the Word of God in their hearts. I pray that every child in this room today will grow up. We may never see them again, Lord, but we pray that we'll see every one of them in heaven. Sins forgiven, being disciples of Christ. We'll thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.